Translation: O King Dushmanta, he who discharges semen is the actual father, and his son saves him from the custody of Yamaraj. You are the actual procreator of this child. Indeed, Shakuntala is speaking the truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Upon hearing the omen, Maharaj Dushmanta accepted his wife and child. According to Vedic Smriti, Punnamno Narakadyasmat Pitaram Trayate Sutta Tasmat Putra Iti Prakta Swayam Eva Swayambhuva. Because a son delivers his father from punishment in the hell called Put, the son is called Putra. According to this principle, when there is a disagreement between the father and mother, it is the father, not the mother, who is delivered by the son. But if the wife is faithful and firmly adherent to her husband, when the father is delivered, the mother is also delivered. Consequently, there is no such thing as divorce in the Vedic literature. A wife is always trained to be chaste and faithful to her husband, for this helps her achieve deliverance from any abominable material condition. This verse clearly says, Putro Nayati Naradeva Yamakshayat. The son saves his father from the custody of Yamaraj. It is never said, Putro Nayati Mataram. The son saves his mother. The seed-giving father is delivered, not the storekeeper mother. Consequently, husband and wife should not separate under any condition, for if they have a child whom they raise to be a Vaishnava, he can save both the father and mother from the custody of Yamaraj and punishment in hellish life. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'll give first a little bit of the background here just to refresh everyone. The dynasty of Puru. In the dynasty of Puru, there appeared a very famous king called King Dushmanta. And when he was out hunting in the forest, he visited the ashram of Kanva Muni. And there he saw a very beautiful girl whose name was Shakuntala. And Shakuntala was actually the daughter of Vishvamitra Muni and Menaka. When Vishvamitra Muni was performing austerity, because he was originally a Kshatriya, but then when he found out that Brahmins are more powerful than Kshatriyas, then he wanted to become a Brahmin, and he was performing austerity to become a Brahmin. And he was doing meditation for 1,000 years. 60,000, okay. No, not underwater. That was Subari, yeah. But was he underwater? I didn't think he was, but anyway, it's possible. We'll check on that. Actually, I don't think he was underwater, because otherwise the ankle bells of Menaka, they wouldn't have really jingled, would they, under the water? She swam by. Really? Okay. Anyway, he was in meditation, and the demigods, they were getting worried because he was becoming very powerful. And they sent this apsara, very beautiful apsara called Menaka, to distract him from his meditation. And just by the sound of her ankle bells, he got distracted. And he fell down, and she had a daughter, and from that union a daughter appeared, which was Shakuntala. So when Menaka returned to the heavenly planets, she left Shakuntala in the forest, and she was taken in by Kanva Muni, and she was brought up in this ashram. So that's where Dushyanta Maharaj met her. And they fell in love with each other, and they got married by this Kshatriya Gandhava form of marriage, where there's eight different forms of marriage, and which are authorized. And for Kshatriyas, this Gandhava form of marriage is authorized. It's where they can just marry by agreement. So they got married, and this child was produced. And then Maharaj Dushyanta, he returned to his palace, and he left Shakuntala there in the ashram of Kanva Muni. She remained under the care of Kanva Muni in the ashram for the duration of her pregnancy, and also for the formative years of the son. And this boy, he became very powerful. And his name was Bharat. And when he grew up, he became the famous Bharat Maharaj, after whom Bharat Vash is named. And he was so powerful that he could wrestle with lions. So when he'd completed his education, then Shakuntala, she went together with her son to the palace of Maharaj Dushyanta to take shelter of him. And when she approached there, first of all he pretended to not know her, because he had to get the blessings of his ministers and the agreement of all the citizens, their endorsement, in order to accept her as his wife. Because if he would just have accepted her like that, then nobody knew where she came from, and there was no proof that actually she was his wife and that this boy was his son. So first of all, he refused to accept her. But because of her spiritual power and the power of her chastity, there was a voice came from the sky and declared that this lady is your wife and this is your son, and now you should accept her. So that's what this verse is, actually the voice from the sky that is speaking. And this voice from the sky is telling Maharaj Dushyanta that this is your son, and you are his actual father, and he is your putra, who is going to deliver you from Yamaraj. And Shakuntala is speaking the truth. So then, he immediately accepted her upon hearing this omen. And she was accepted by all the praja, all the citizens. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, it's a very interesting purport, that the reason the son is called Putra, because he is meant to deliver his father from the hell known as Put. Actually, it is said that, there's that other verse in the fifth canto where it said that one should not become a father or a mother or a guru. One should not accept dependents like that unless one is capable of delivering them from birth and death. So initially it is the father and the mother who are supposed to be responsible for delivering the children. But then when the children become grown up, then when the parents become old, then it's like the roles are reversed. The parents become dependent on the children. And so the son is meant to be responsible to deliver the parents. So that's why, that's the reason why the son is called a putra, which is very interesting because because actually the, I mean, if the parents are Krishna conscious themselves, then, I mean, each person can, in one sense, by being Krishna conscious, deliver themselves, of course, by the grace of the Guru and Krishna. But there's all these complex relationships in the Vedic Varnashram system by which we feel dependent on each other. We don't feel independent, but we, all these relationships are actually meant for helping each other in spiritual life. So like the relationship between husband and wife in Grihastha Ashram, the real purpose of it is to help one another to make spiritual advancement. And that's the main purpose behind every guideline that's there in the Varnashram system. The whole structure, in fact, of the four Varnas and four Ashrams, every one of these rules and regulations are meant for the ultimate purpose of spiritual liberation. And within family life, there's the four goals, Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha. That is also there. That religious principles are accepted and followed, and then Artha and Karma, economic development and sense gratification are meant to be regulated by religious principles. And in that way, the husband, wife and children, the whole family moves forward on the path of liberation with the ultimate aim of going back home, back to Godhead. So there are many different reasons, socially as well, why a wife should be chaste and faithful to the husband and why there should be no divorce, why that is the Vedic system. And I mean, often we think in terms of the social reasons because otherwise the society becomes polluted, just like Arjuna said to Krishna in the Gita, that he was concerned that if I kill all these warriors, then the women will be unprotected, and then the whole society will become polluted. So it's for the protection of women, so that is the social reason. And also because for the sake of children, so that the children can be brought up in secure families, so to produce good population, which means children brought up in functional, stable families who can become well educated and who can become valuable contributors to the society in different ways. But it's very interesting here because Srila Prabhupada is saying the actual reason, which is like the spiritual reason, why a husband and wife should remain together, the wife should always be chaste, there should never be separation, it's actually because the son, the putra, is responsible for delivering the father and not the mother. So if the mother becomes separated from the father, then only the father is delivered by the son and not the mother. So then the mother is left. Of course, again, as I said before, if they are both devotees, if they're following the practices of Krishna consciousness, if they're engaged in devotional service and chanting, then they're still secure. But really, they're secure in the sense that they're advancing, but the real security, if we want actual security, then we need help from all sides, and we need to get help and mercy and blessings from all directions. And that is that's the mentality of a Vaishnava, to always feel dependent on others, especially on those who Krishna has put us together with for a purpose. And that is why a husband and wife stay together as Vaishnavas, is because they feel that Krishna has put us together. We are meant to be together. Because there's always going to be difficulties in married life. There's always going to be disagreements. But the husband and wife, they can overcome these because they have committed to each other, and they're responsible for each other, and they're responsible to Guru and Krishna for staying together and bringing up their children in Krishna consciousness. So it's said, Srila Prabhupada says here, that he explains that it is the father who is delivered by the son. There's this very close relationship between father and son. And the mother is a part of that. But nowadays, if you tell these things to people, then it would be very hard for them to understand. Nowadays, divorce has become a very common thing, because there's no training. Prabhupada talks here about the training that a wife is trained to be chaste and faithful to the husband. Unfortunately, this training doesn't exist anymore in society at large. But at least in ISKCON, we should try to inculcate this. And by building strong families in ISKCON, we can help to deliver others and to teach others. And for a marriage to, I mean, this can be taught to people as well. Perhaps not the part about putra is hard for people to understand in the beginning, but at least that the way that marriages are undertaken, that they should be arranged carefully, because for a woman to remain chaste and faithful to her husband, there has to be something there from the beginning. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanda, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shri Shri Govita, Hare Krishna. In the for those who are brought up with some Vedic culture, then they can understand the concept of duty as well. Just like Srila Prabhupada said that he was not very keen on his wife. Sometimes he said, I didn't like my wife. But he stayed with her and he looked after her, and as out of duty. And he was affectionate to her, and he did everything for his wife and family that he should have done as a grihastha. Nowadays, for us, because we haven't been brought up in this way, it's difficult to just stay together out of duty. We can, but not everyone can do that. So that's why it's important that there has to be... we have to like each other. If a woman is going to be chaste and faithful to the husband her whole life, then she has to like him. Then it's not a problem. So the Vedic astrology is also used to match together a girl and a boy. And that is helpful. That's one of the things that's helpful. Srila Prabhupada does mention that several times in the Bhagavatam, the importance of astrology. Although this marriage between Dushyanta and Shakuntala was not done in that way, but he says that normally, it's mentioned in the previous purport, one of the previous purports as well, that when discussing the different types of marriage in Vedic society, that the usual way would be for the parents to arrange the marriage, and this would be done in consultation with an astrologer. And also, of course, the children, they would be happy to accept the arrangements of their parents and to accept each other. This has been, there has been a period in ISKCON where there's been some kind of imitation of this arranged marriages, and it hasn't worked very well because it hasn't been done in the proper way. It's been done for different reasons and without really careful consideration of compatibility. So compatibility must be there. And that is the Vedic system. Srila Prabhupada, he also arranged marriages in the early days of ISKCON. He would arrange marriages. He would suggest. He wouldn't use astrology at that time because there were not that many devotees, and it was an emergency situation, and the preaching had to go on. So marriages were made, and a lot of those actually didn't stay together, unfortunately, because of this lack of commitment and duty. But Srila Prabhupada, when he arranged marriage, he wouldn't push it on people. He would consult with them and make sure they liked each other and that they were happy before he arranged. And that's very important, the most important thing, of course. So it's a very interesting topic, so I think we'll stop there. I think I'll stop there and just see if there's any questions or comments, and we can discuss further on this. Hare Krishna.